The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'm Channel 80. Have you ever seen quarterback battles like this before all around the league? In preseason, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Is this just because last year was COVID and things are getting back to normal and I'm forgetting already? Or, look, I said a couple days ago, after one preseason game, I guess I said it last week, this has a chance to be the greatest quarterback class ever. But those aren't the only quarterback battles going on. Be a part of the Max Kellerman Show on Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, the quarterback battle's everywhere. Look, we know about Cam and Mac, and that's, I thought Cam had kind of locked it up with his last performance. And then he's going through COVID protocols, and now Belichick, remember, you only go through these protocols if you haven't been vaccinated. And remember how COVID submarined his season last year. And now Belichick's like, yeah, this gives Mac a real opportunity. Whoa. Jameis and Taysom Hill, looks like Jameis got that. But that was a battle until Jameis's performance on Monday Night Football. Trevor Lawrence has been named over Gardner Minshew. I don't know if I do that. I got to get into that in a little bit. Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. Yeah, Dalton's named the starter. How long is that going to last? What about Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo? I know Garoppolo got the start the other day, but Trey Lance saw much more extended time with the ones. But what about the second-year guys? Or second-year, whatever. The guys who aren't rookies, but they're not established yet. The Broncos just named Teddy Bridgewater their starting quarterback, which means Drew Lock. Look, someone brings in Bridgewater, it's not a good sign for your career. Not that Bridgewater's bad. Teddy Bridgewater is a competent NFL quarterback. He's a starting-caliber quarterback. But he's not the most dynamic player in the world. And if you're Drew Lock, and once upon a time you thought you could be a starter in the league, I think it's come to the time now where you realize that's not going to happen. You got to figure that's the case. Now, here's the thing about the Broncos. The defense is so good. They have everything else you need. With Bridgewater, that's actually a contending kind of team, isn't it? Like, I hadn't thought of the Broncos that way until they named Teddy Bridgewater. And then I was like, you know what? If you have everything but a quarterback, and now you have Bridgewater, you have a quarterback. You can't say they have everything but a quarterback anymore. You can say they have everything but an elite quarterback. He's not that. He's not a franchise quarterback, but he's a starting quarterback. He's not the 33rd best quarterback in football. In fact, he's not the 32nd either. He's a lower-end starting NFL quarterback, and that makes the Broncos dangerous because they got a lot of other stuff. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. What's the biggest quarterback battle of the preseason? I mentioned them, like Jameis and Taysom Hill was, a tight race, and I thought Jameis had the slight advantage. Like, the tie goes to the runner in baseball. They say the tie goes to Jameis, to me, if it was close, because his only value is as a quarterback, Jameis Winston, whereas Taysom Hill has value all over the field. Taysom Hill never has to come off the field. So when one guy can do more things, actually, that may hurt him in a tie in the quarterback battle, right? And it was close, and I thought Taysom Hill needs to do something here. Also, Jameis gives you more upside and more downside, which you kind of want in the NFL. If you're going to be bad, don't be a little bad. Be really bad. And then you get a better draft pick. But I thought Taysom Hill would really have to show out. On a Monday Night Football, it was Jameis who showed out. I can't imagine he doesn't get the job at this point. Cam and Mac Jones, though. Mac Jones has exceeded expectations, if anything, so far. He's looked very good. And Cam's looked even better, but with the COVID protocols, he's left a little opening. And Trey Lance and Garoppolo, I'll say it again. Jimmy Garoppolo has won 3 out of every 4 games he's played. Well, quarterback records are overrated. However, you know, like, you won 3 out of every 4 games for a team that wins, 3 out of every 4 with or without you. Or a team that goes 500, No, he's missed a ton of games, almost as many games as he's played for the Niners. And in those games, he's not durable. That's true. Best ability is availability. But in those games that he's missed, they lose 3 out of every 4. So he's hard to replace. That's a real battle. That's a real question. Trey Lance, a lot of people think, has the most upside of any quarterback in this draft. But you're ready to win a Super Bowl now, and Jimmy Garoppolo's already been one pass away from winning the Super Bowl. What do you do here? What do you do here? And then there's Trevor Lawrence. You know, I have to now say, now that they've made the decision, they named Trevor Lawrence a starter. Well, I'm going to play you Trevor Lawrence's reaction, and then I'm going to tell you what I think about this. Here's Trevor Lawrence's reaction to being named the Jags starter.
I'm really excited for the opportunity. It doesn't really change anything, though. Still got the same task in front of us. Got to get a lot better individually as a team, as an offense. So just looking forward to going to work this week. You know, it brings some clarity, which is nice going forward, but it really doesn't change much. But, yeah, I'm really excited for the opportunity, grateful for it.
And here's Ike Taylor, two-time Super Bowl champion on Greeny with Mike Greenberg, about Trey Lance. Listen to this.
Trey Lance has been proven. It's a different kind of pop. It's a different kind of energy when Trey get in the game. You know, when Jimmy Garoppolo, when he gets in the game, that's Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, he's going to be Jimmy. Everybody understands, but you can just tell the body language. And I tell people all the time, look at the body language to the coaches and the guys on the sideline. Look at the defensive players on the sideline when a new guy comes in. They've been going against Trey Lance for a lot during this offseason and training camp. They see the extra he brings to the team.
That may be, but let me weigh in on both these. First, Trevor Lawrence starting. He's named the starter. You know what, guys? I disagree with this. I disagree with it for the same reason I disagree with Justin Fields starting. Justin Fields is better than Andy Dalton. He should be QB1. But I got to give props to Nagy because his job's on the line, and Justin Fields would help him with that. You do better with Justin Fields than Andy Dalton. And Nagy, at great peril to his own employment, right, to his own job, is choosing the franchise over the team. He's choosing the Chicago Bears franchise over this iteration of the Chicago Bears team. And he's imperiling his own job in so doing. And that is rare, that someone puts the kind of short-term incentive behind. They put the long-term interest of the franchise ahead of their own short-term incentive. That's rare, but I think it's the right thing to do. Why? The offensive line's not good enough to protect Justin Fields. And I would use Andy Dalton as a tackling dummy until it gets a little better. But the same logic applies to Trevor Lawrence. First of all, the game looks too fast for Trevor Lawrence right now. By the way, I say the same thing about Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance. There are certain times where I'm like, it's going a little quick for them. Justin Fields, it doesn't look that way to me. Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, it doesn't look that way to me. But Trevor Lawrence, it does. In fact, it looks like he's the guy struggling the most with the speed of the NFL. And he doesn't have a good offensive line. I'm not putting him out there week one if it's me. Why would I subject him to that? I wouldn't. I would put Gardner Minshew there. By the way, they're about to say, neither one of them has been any good. But I'm invested, number one overall pick and a generational talent, supposedly, in Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to protect that. I'm not going to start him. They are. They are going to start him. Trey Lance, I'm guessing Jimmy Garoppolo starts. We'll see for how long. We'll see if he can stay healthy. Justin Fields is not going to start. They're starting Andy Dalton. And as I said, I think that's commendable because it's in coach's best interest to start him. It's in the team's best interest to start Fields. But what coach and the franchise are saying is, wait a minute, it's not just about this team right now and this upcoming game. It's about the future of this franchise. And if we can't protect Justin Fields, that might be bad. Same thing applies to Trevor Lawrence. In fact, the more I think about it, there's only one quarterback of all the first-year guys that I would start week one. It's not Trevor Lawrence. The line can't protect him, and the game's going too fast for him. Game's not going too fast for Justin Fields, even though we heard his processor's not fast enough. No, that's not the issue. It's the Chicago Bears offensive line. Like Trevor Lawrence, it can't protect him. I'm not starting him. And I don't want a Tua situation where here's the ball, I'm taking it back, and I'm sitting you down, I'm taking you out of the game. I want to give Justin Fields the ball, keep it for 15 years. And I want to keep him upright as much as possible. So I'm not starting Trevor Lawrence. I'm not starting Justin Fields. I'm not starting Trey Lance. Sorry. I think I can win the Super Bowl this year. I'm not starting a rookie. Rookie's never been to a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo's come one pass away from winning the Super Bowl as a starting quarterback. I'm not starting Trey Lance. I'm looking at Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. That's my model. I'm not starting Trey Lance. I'm not starting Mac Jones, even if Cam left the door open. Cam Newton, when last seen, was lighting it up in the preseason. I'm starting Cam Newton. Cam Newton has a chance to be a great quarterback this season. You heard me right. They have an offensive line. They have offensive weapons. Bill Belichick's his coach. He has a year in the system. He has a preseason. He's practiced. He's been, you know, he's a year more removed from catastrophic injury. When last seen under Norv Turner, he's having his best passing year. No, Cam might have a great year. Patriots are one of 8-9 teams that could legit contend for a Super Bowl this year. I don't see him doing it with Mac Jones. I see them doing it potentially with Cam Newton. I'm not starting Mac Jones. So I'm not starting Mac Jones. I'm not starting Trey Lance. I'm not starting Trevor Lawrence. I'm not starting Justin Fields for all those reasons. I am starting Zach Wilson. Why? Not only was Zach Wilson potentially the most talented guy in this draft, and you saw the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers off-platform stuff he was doing and everything. Not only do the Jets have nothing there anyway, but his coaching staff under Robert Saleh has put him in a very good position, unlike Urban Meyer with Trevor Lawrence. And unlike Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, he has an offensive line, especially on the left side. The Jets have it set up where on Zach Wilson's blind side, they have Becton and Vera Tucker on the left side. That's good. You grow with those guys. He's the only dude I would start out of all these rookies. But man, what a bunch of good quarterback battles. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter on Barton Hahn this morning. I mentioned earlier, if it was close, it would go to Jameis because Taysom Hill can stay on the field, not at quarterback. Jameis' whole value is at quarterback. After Monday Night Football, I don't think it's close anymore. I thought it was close. I don't think it is anymore. Here's Jeff Darlington on Jameis.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, it's as much of a quarterback competition as it is in Jacksonville. Like, just call it. It reminds me of like a boxing match where you see the ref go over to the other guy who's glassy-eyed and he waves his arms and it's over. And the boxer's like, no, I can keep going. Like, it's over. Jameis Winston won the quarterback competition, and he did so in the first half of that game.
I agree. I mean, what more could Jameis have done? He won it. If you're going to name your starter before Game 3 of the preseason, and now coach is saying, Sean Payton saying, well, I'll name him before the first game of the season. But if you're going to name him before, like, you know, Jameis would really have to have a bad game, and Taysom Hill would have to show us something he hasn't shown us yet to win back that job. To me, it appears to be Jameis Winston. This stuff isn't that difficult. Here and there, there's a tough choice. Like, I get with Chicago why someone would say, you know what? Yeah, the line isn't great. It doesn't promise to get much better. Fields has the legs to keep himself out of trouble and the arm to make big plays, and the Bears could contend for a playoff spot, start Justin Fields. I wouldn't argue too much with you. I just think it's wiser to let Dalton take those hits the first couple weeks of the season at least. I wouldn't argue with you too much about even Trey Lance. Like, he can just do things Jimmy Garoppolo's never done physically, and he's known as processing stuff real quick, and he's a leader, and just because no rookie has ever led a team to a Super Bowl doesn't mean, you know, it'll never happen. Maybe it'll happen with him. I understand that's a legitimate point of view. I just disagree with it, right? Trevor Lawrence, he's number one overall pick. It's going to be rough sledding at some point with the Jags. Might as well start him early. Okay, I don't agree with it, but I could go with it. I couldn't go with Mac Jones over Cam right now, and I couldn't go with Taysom Hill over Jameis right now, based on everything I've seen. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Meantime, Sam Acho, sorry, ESPN football analyst, of course, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, and even those who think, as I do, yeah, Andy Dalton or start. Ask me, would I be against, after a couple weeks, Justin Fields taking over? No, I could easily see that happening. What about you, Sam?
Andy Dalton's like, bro, I didn't get a fair chance to compete. So then game two, Andy Dalton gets a whole half, and he looks okay. Justin Fields gets a half. He looks okay. So now all of a sudden, it's like, well, what do we do? And then Matt Nagy goes back to his laurels of, you know what? We're going to do what we're going to do. I'm not going to be pressured by the outside. We're going to start Andy and then play Justin when he's ready. It may not be long. Remember last year in Chicago, Mitch Trubisky started 3 games and he got benched. Mm-hmm. He didn't play bad. He led the team to a comeback in week 1. Played really well in week 2. He threw 1 bad interception in week 3 against Atlanta, it was, I believe. And all of a sudden, he got benched, short leash. I think you're going to see something similar.
It could be. And I wouldn't be against it. I'm just saying. No, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, I would protect behind bad offensive lines. Let the other guys be tackling dummies. Trey Lance, I think Garoppolo gives him a better chance to win a Super Bowl this year. Is just the truth of the matter. Mac Jones, I think Cam Newton gives them a better chance. Those are Super Bowl contenders, the Patriots and the Niners. I would go with the veteran who give you a better chance, in my view, right now. The only guy I'd start is Zach Wilson. And that's based both on how he's looked in preseason, which is spectacular, what the Jets have on the offensive line now, especially on the left side, and what are the expectations of the team. It's not like they have some veteran on the Jets, and the Jets are poised to contend for a Super Bowl. The only rookie that I would start is Zach Wilson. All right. The Los Angeles Rams have acquired Sony Michel from the New England Patriots to add some much-needed depth at the running back position. Michel fills an immediate need for the Rams because, you know, they don't have Cam Akers, who looked like he was trending toward elite because he tore his right Achilles tendon working out before training camp. Henderson suffered a thumb sprain in practice Monday. So they need some depth. Now, I'm not impressed with Sony Michel. Like, to me, this is real commentary on why Tom Brady's not New England anymore. Bill Belichick, you know, Tom Brady kept restructuring his contract, and he's looking around going, where's all my offensive help, Bill? You're supposed to be spreading my money around, getting me help, and I've got no help. Like, that whole offense, very dependent on tight ends, and they had no pass-catching tight ends. You remember Gronk and, you know, Aaron Hernandez, but he was a very good pass-catching tight end before all the trouble. And Gronk and Hernandez, like, that was, how did you stop those guys? But these guys they've had, it's ridiculous. They spend money, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, who's, of course, hurt. I mean, that's needless to say, he's already hurt. But a lot of them, $50 million on pass-catching tight ends and everything. Brady's probably thinking, where was that money spent when I was here? But more than that, the reason they had to spend money is because Belichick keeps missing in the draft. He hasn't drafted well. Why isn't Brady there? If you're not going to draft well, if you're going to miss on offensive players in the draft, then you got to at least spend the money in free agency. He did neither. Brady left. And this trade points out why. Sony Michel was a first-round pick by the Patriots. He wasn't catching passes out of the backfield. He was not elusive. He wasn't getting, you know, he wasn't getting yards after contact. What was he doing exactly? What was he doing? On an even average level, running between the tackles? Well, it is true. It is a fact. He was running between the tackles. When I was a kid, I was talking to a buddy, and someone in the media, I think, was calling someone, like the Yankees at the time, you know, they had no pitching. And they were like, yeah, you know, he's a young pitcher. Like, they need young pitching. And my brother was like, yeah, I'm a young pitcher. Like, you need good young pitching, you know? Sony Michel, well, he runs between the tackles. Not well. He does it. It is true. It's a fact, but he doesn't do it well. I don't know how much that actually helps the Rams. It's some depth. He's a 4-year pro, Sony Michel. He rushed for 2,300 yards, 14 touchdowns, and 28 starts for the Pats. They drafted him in the first round in 18. Now, I will say this. Friend of mine in the industry, a well-known analyst. I won't say who it is because he didn't. We weren't on the record. I don't think he would mind, but just to be sure, talked about the outside zone blocking. Right? He didn't say outside zone blocking, but he's talking about like the system that is run that could fit Sony Michel. Yeah, I guess. I suppose if it's what he was doing in college, those little cutbacks, right? You know, like. You got linemen at different depth levels stepping up, even if there's not a defender there and everything. And lanes open up not only to the outside, but if you cut back on the inside. And maybe Sony Michel's used to that and he can give you some production there. But to me, it's just really more of a depth move for a Rams roster that needs it. Now, he did rush in, you know, when the Rams lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots, he rushed for 94 yards and a touchdown on 18 carries. And so maybe the Rams remember that, you know? And Belichick is getting a little mileage out of it. I mean, it's a poor job drafting if you turn a first-rounder into a couple of late-round picks. But, you know, you can't throw good money after bad. At the point that he's not worth so much on the trade market, maybe Belichick takes advantage of the fact that McVay remembers that Sony Michel ran on him in the Super Bowl and he's willing to give you something for him. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Coming up, could this be the year we finally see the Dodgers versus my Yankees in the World Series? We're talking Nets and Lakers, Dodgers and Yankees, New York and L.A. What if you could put the same type of rigor that the pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. And you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN. MLB Insider Jeff Passan next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. Could this be the year, L.A.? Dodgers versus Yankees. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's not forget, the Houston Astros cheated the world out of the Dodgers versus the Yankees a couple years back. Don't forget, Yankees beat the brakes off the Astros at Yankee Stadium, and the Astros were winning one-run games against the Yankees at Houston where they were cheating. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN Baseball Insider Jeff Passan is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Shop the impressive Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G. Z Fold 3 5G and Z Flip 3 5G at Samsung.com. That's what I meant to say. Is Jeff there? Okay, great. I'm going to take a call real quick. Dan from Missouri, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max. I would say the closest quarterback battle this summer has been Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I'm going to say that Taysom Hill is going to win the starting quarterback position solely on the fact that Madden Football, the video game, has Taysom Hill as the starter. And I'm thinking Madden of something we don't.
Well, Madden, it's funny. I used to play a game on the old Max Kellerman Show in New York and then on Max and Marcellus in L.A., going back 15 years now, the pro, the game, the kid, and the psychic, picking against the NFL spread. I had a professional gambler, a 10-year-old kid, a Madden simming, you know, like, and like sub, making all the substitutions for injury and everything, and a psychic. And Madden always won. So maybe Madden does know something we don't. All right, Jeff Passan now, ESPN senior MLB insider. Oh, look, a little Wu-Tang. Listen, Jeff, I didn't know. You're a Wu-Tang guy, huh? I never would have guessed.
I do bomb atomically, Max Kellerman.
Yes.
How are you?
Well, let me ask you something in that case. Favorite Wu-Tang album before we get to anything else?
36 Chambers.
That's a good one.
Is there another answer?
Oh yeah, there is. There is.
I mean, if, are we talking like favorite like posse album?
No. It doesn't have to be like, all of them together. I mean, just Wu-Tang. You know, stamped out.
Oh. Different story than probably Liquid Swords.
I knew you would say that. Wrong. That's wrong. And Liquid Swords is excellent, but that's flatly wrong. It is the correct answer is only Built for Cuban Links, though I would have already also taken 36 Chambers, but Liquid Swords is not as good as those two. But it's an excellent album. Most underrated Wu-Tang album, Jeff.
Oh, my goodness. You got to let me think on that one because there are so many of them. I got it. Like, I feel like I have to.
Yeah, all right. That's true. That's unfair. I'm bombarding you with it. I would say it was Dirty's first album, but there are many to choose from. All right, Jeff, let's get down to brass tacks, okay?
Let's.
Yankees.
And by the end of the show, I will have thought this through.
Okay.
And we'll by the end of the segment, in fact.
You know, Jeff, you have 1,000 Ghost albums to choose from. I'm sure, Ghost puts out an album every year. It's still the best music anyone makes. There are like 3 classics on every album, and no one gives them any credit. Anyway, the point is this.
Fair.
The point is this. The Yankees, my beloved Yankees, Jeff Passan, the most celebrated and successful team in the history of worldwide baseball by a factor of 1,000,000. They're back, Jeff. 11 in a row. Surely you're excited about this. What has been the key to their success?
The key to their success, Max, is that they're actually playing to the level that they should have been all season long.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this Yankees team looked bombed out and depleted, to steal a Dave Chappelle line, for the first 3.5 months of the season. And they were playing uninspired baseball. They were playing lazy baseball. They were playing dumb baseball. And I think I'm not going to sit here and say that getting Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo has completely changed them, because if you look at Gallo and Rizzo's numbers since they arrived, they've been fine, but they haven't.
Big defensive improvements, though, Jeff. They're athletic defenders, which they didn't have previously.
They are. But really, Max, what's happened is that all the segments of the game have come together. They've been better defensively. They've been stealing bases. I mean, if you look right now in the month of August, they have the 4th most, I believe, stolen bases in baseball. This plodding Yankees team. They have the highest walk rate in the month of August. And beyond that, their pitching has been really, really good.
This is the thing. Like, the Taillon's coming on, and Kluber are coming. They're like low-risk, high-reward type kind of signings. Kluber's going to be back soon. Severino's going to be back soon. Those are both potential Cy Young Award winners if they're healthy. Like, they're in that. They have that kind of talent. But Taillon came around. Montgomery, who's just a good pitcher, right? Montgomery just has had a career full of injuries, but when he's healthy, he's a good major league starter. Like, all of a sudden, obviously Cole, all of a sudden, you got a guy like Luis Gil, like, throwing 100 miles an hour, striking everyone out, and he can't, they have to send him down to the minors. They have too much starting pitching all of a sudden, Jeff.
That's kind of how it's been all year, though, Max. Like, the starting pitching is what has kept them afloat.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most underrated and underappreciated part of this team, and I include myself in the group that has underrated and underappreciated them. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm banking on Corey Kluber to be a world beater when he comes back.
Sure.
I'm definitely not sitting here saying I'm even expecting Luis Severino to come back.
Right.
I mean, he's missed enough time at this point, had enough setbacks. We're banking on him to be like a dude down the stretch is not something that I'm there for. But it doesn't matter. What they've got has been not just good, Max, or not just good enough, but actually has been good.
Yeah, it's been really good. How about the Dodgers with their starting pitching issues, Jeff? Are they going to get back?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Dodgers. Trevor Bauer's not going to be back this year. That we have a decent sense of at this point. But they've still got Walker Buehler. They've still got Max Scherzer. They've still got Julio Urias. And I anticipate Clayton Kershaw will be back and will be fine at some point. And I'm honestly, if I'm the Dodgers, I'm okay with Clayton Kershaw taking time to get back. They need him to win a championship this year. And they need him because I think having a guy like Kershaw allows them to potentially deploy some of their other starters in those long relief roles that Dave Roberts has shown the ability to manage so well. Remember, it was not Kenley Jansen who closed down the World Series last year. Mm-hmm. It was Julio Urias, who was throwing absolute gas and spent all year as a starter, but went to the bullpen in the offseason, in the postseason, rather. And the ability to do that, to take pitchers and not just use them, Max, as starters or relievers, but as out-getters, is what modern postseason baseball is.
Yeah, tournament-style baseball, as my good friend Brian Kenny always says. Hopefully, finally, we can get what so much of this country, so much of the middle of this country has been yearning for so long. People like you, Jeff, a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, right? Am I right? We can finally get it.
Listen, I hope so, if only because that's the one that I predicted before the season.
Okay,
started.
So in fact, you do
so
want
I always,
I was being I sarcastic,
always,
but yeah.
No, I'm perfectly fine with a bi-coastal World Series between two jewel franchises in baseball.
Well, they're playing the outro music here. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Jeff Passan, go get that money. ESPN's senior MLB insider on the Goodyear Hotline. He came close with Liquid Swords. It's a top one, but it is not as good as Cuban Links. I'm sorry, but that's the judge's final decision. The great Jeff Passan, ladies and gentlemen. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Coming up, have NFL defenses figured out? Apparently they've figured out. Former MVP Lamar Jackson. 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Not anymore. Because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month. No contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. All on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Coming up today on Today and Golic Jr. Jackson State head football coach and Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. As our countdown to the kickoff of the football season rolls on, Deion Sanders with Chiney and Golic Jr. Today at 5 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, this is easy. You get signed Lamar Jackson, ASAP, league MVP. He's dynamic. He's only going to get better.
Lamar Jackson is rare. When he's just, like, just plays a really good game, we're like, oh, Lamar Jackson was okay. Because the bar is so ridiculously high.
You know, I love Baltimore. I love the whole organization. Love everybody in the building. But hopefully we'll be making something happen pretty soon or whenever.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Here, if Lamar thinks NFL defenses have figured him out, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. By the way, Jeff Passan on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead, Goodyear more driven. Have NFL defenses figured Lamar Jackson out? Now, let me say first, when I hear Dan Orlovsky, which you just heard saying his standards, his bar is set so ridiculously high for Lamar, yeah, they are. He's an MVP. He's a great player. Standards are very high. I'm not lowering them for him. Standards are high for Patrick Mahomes. Standards are high for Aaron Rodgers, and they're better than Lamar Jackson. Standards are high for Josh Allen, who at this moment I think most people would take over Lamar. I think I would also, but that could go back and forth. Standards are now high for Justin Herbert. Standards are high for Tom Brady, obviously. Lamar Jackson ain't an average player. Yes, he gets compared to elite standards. He's expected not only to live up to them, but to improve. Now, at age 21, he was the most accurate passer in NFL history per Warren Sharp Analytics. Ever. That includes Peyton Manning and everybody. Age 21. He, at age 24, was not the most prolific or accurate passer at that age. So the trajectory, just because he started out that way, doesn't mean every, like, you know, Mike Trout, age 20, he's the greatest baseball player ever. 21, same thing. 22, same, at a certain point, you go, maybe he's just the greatest baseball player ever. That's not been Lamar Jackson. He hasn't been like a Mike Trout, in spite of the way he started out. But he is a great player. You know, and by the way, first playoff game as a very young player, he was as bad as you want to see deer in headlights first half, much better in the second half. In his second playoff game the following year, he played pretty well. In his third playoff game, he won. So year over year, he's getting better in the playoffs. And by the way, also per Sharp Analytics, through 37 career starts, Lamar Jackson has 85 touchdowns. That is third all time. All time. To Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino. Okay? Well, he's playing in an era. So is everyone else. He's third all time. Well, that's total touchdowns. What about passing touchdowns? He has 67. So it drops off a little bit because he's run a bunch in. 67 ranks tied for 11th all-time through 37 starts. Tied for 11th all-time with Aaron Rodgers. He's thrown a lot of touchdowns. His passing woes have been exaggerated. No question. Now, has the league figured him out? Here's Lamar Jackson answering that question.
I'm going to keep playing football. We're going to see. But I doubt it, dude. I doubt it. I strongly doubt it. You're going to play ball.
Yeah. Listen, you know what the league has figured out? You can't stop this dude. That's what they figured out. He's tough to stop. No one's unbeatable, but look, this is what I would do if I was a defensive coordinator. I play a whole gang of defensive backs because what I want to do is, fast guys who can cover ground, dissuade him from throwing the ball. In fact, it's counterintuitive. Dissuade him from throwing the ball and dissuade running backs. I want to encourage Lamar Jackson to run the ball early in the game. I want to then really beat him up. And then in the second half, hopefully he's worn down. But he's one of those dudes. You got to just like stack the deck in your favor as much as possible and hope. But discourage him from. And by the way, jump out to an early lead because then he has to beat you from the pocket throwing the ball. Okay, but now you got to jump out to an early lead on the Ravens defense. It's like, how are we going to win this? Well, we're going to jump out to a lead and keep tacking on points. We want to keep building our lead. That's a description, not a strategy. Yes, that's a nice way to win the game. You know how I'd like to win the game? I'd like to have more points at the end of the game than the other team. That's my strategy every game, if that's a strategy. But in Lamar's case, it is true. You would like, if you can, to score early because you want them to play catch-up. You want him to beat you with his arm. Not that he can't. He can. But he has not been as spectacular a thrower for a quarterback as he has been a runner as a quarterback. And again, I just said, most accurate passer ever, age 21, improved every year in the playoffs, won an MVP, third all-time through 37 starts in total touchdowns behind Mahomes and Marino only, tied for 11th all-time passing touchdowns through 37 starts, tied with Aaron Rodgers for 11th. He's great, but a better runner than a thrower, proportional to a quarterback. And that will be the thing. Can he beat you from the pocket? By the way, he doesn't get away from that he's got to do it. Just because you can thread a needle doesn't mean you're accurate. You have to be consistently accurate, consistently threading a needle. And that's what he's got to prove. Everyone's got stuff to prove every year. That's what Lamar Jackson's got to prove. Just because that's been overstated doesn't mean there's no truth to it. 888-SAY-ESPN coming up. You ever seen this many QB battles?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.